Ever get that feeling like you can just read someone, like you can tell if they're being straight with you or trying to pull a fast one?
Oh, absolutely. We all rely on that gut instinct, especially when we're trying to figure out a whole group of people.
But here's the thing. Even when it's just a handful of people, our ability to spot deception, well, it's not as sharp as we might think. Studies show it's barely better than a coin toss.
You're right. It is kind of humbling when you think about it. And that difficulty we have in telling who's on the level,
Yay.
yeah, that gets magnified big time when you toss in multiple people with hidden agendas, and especially in those conversations that play out over a longer period of time.
And that brings us to what we're diving into today. We're going to look at some really interesting research that tackles this whole area of deception and how it plays out in those long conversations with lots of people involved.
Yeah, and for this deep dive, the sources we're using are pretty unique. We're going to be looking at recordings of people playing the social deduction game Avalon, the Resistance.
Exactly. So picture this. A real-life mystery unfolds,
Yeah.
and everyone has secret roles, hidden motives, the whole shebang.
Right. And what we're going to do today, what we're on a mission to uncover together, is to see just how well current AI, those large language models we hear so much about, can actually make sense of this kind of complex human interaction. We're talking about secret identities, strategic lying, good old-fashioned persuasion, all those social tactics people use.
Yeah, it's a really insightful way to look at what AI can do right now, but more importantly, where it might be falling short in truly understanding those subtle little cues in human communication.
Definitely.
Now, you might be asking yourself, why Avalon? What makes that game so special for this? And it turns out it's like the perfect test ground for this kind of research. You got hidden teams, good guys versus the bad guys, and the whole game revolves around talking, voting, and this constant push and pull of building trust or sometimes, intentionally sowing a little doubt.
And that whole long horizon thing you mentioned is really important because the game unfolds over multiple rounds. So those little clues, those hints about who might be who, might not even pop up until way later in the game. This isn't some quick interaction. These conversations can go on for a while.
Exactly. And to get into the specifics, in the games these researchers looked at, you had six players. On the side of good, there's Merlin, who knows who all the baddies are.
Right.
You have Percival, who has this partial knowledge they know, who might be Merlin and Morgana, but can't quite tell them apart. And then you've got two loyal servants, just regular good guys with no special information.
Got it. And on the evil side, we've got Morgana, who can disguise herself as Merlin to Percival, which adds this whole other layer of trickery. And then there's the assassin, whose goal is to, well, take out Merlin.
Exactly. And the way you win is pretty straightforward. The good team wins if they manage to pull off 3 out of 5 quests. But even then, there's a twist. If the assassin can correctly guess who Merlin is at the end, the bad guys still win. On the flip side, evil wins automatically if they manage to sabotage 3 quests.
Oh, wow. So there's a lot of pressure, a lot at stake. Everyone is walking this tightrope of trying to figure out who to trust while potentially throwing others off their scent. It's a high-stakes social dance.
Right, it's a complex dance. And these researchers didn't just sit back and passively watch these games. They recorded and documented everything. 20 games in total, with 30 different players getting in on the action.
Wow, that's a lot of data.
Yeah, it resulted in a massive data set of 2,384 separate dialogue exchanges. So you can imagine the sheer volume of information they were working with. And it wasn't just about capturing the words themselves. They went through and carefully annotated all these conversations, pinpointing moments of persuasion, instances of deception, trying to track what each player seemed to believe about everyone else's roles as the game went on. And of course, keeping track of all the nitty-gritty details of the game itself, who voted for whom, which quests succeeded, which ones failed.
Yeah, so they have this incredibly detailed record of how these humans deceive, deduce, and make decisions in this specific setting.
Right. And remember, we're talking about games that lasted, on average, over an hour.
Yeah.
So there's this huge element of long-term interaction that we're really interested in exploring.
That's right. It's not just about the immediate back and forth. It's about understanding how those interactions build up over time.
Absolutely. So now let's get to the heart of the matter. Why are these kinds of dialogues so difficult for AI? For those large language models we're all hearing so much about.
All right, let's break it down. First off, you've got a whole bunch of people chiming in. It's not a simple one-on-one conversation. You've got six different people talking, strategizing, potentially contradicting each other. The LLMs have to keep track of all of that simultaneously.
Exactly. And it's not just about the words themselves. the player's reasoning is intertwined with how the game is actually playing out. You know, someone's argument about why someone should or shouldn't be included in a quest, well, that's going to hinge on who suggested the team, how everyone voted on it, and whether past quests have been successful or not.
You're right. It's all connected. And this means the LLM has to be able to ground its understanding in both the language being used and the constantly changing state of the game. It can't just focus on one or the other.
Right. And then on top of all that, you've got the intentional deception and attempts at persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
Players might not be saying what they truly believe, and they might be actively trying to manipulate others.
Yeah, that's right. And for an AI that's often trained on more straightforward, factual text, that adds a whole other level of difficulty. Figuring out those subtle signs of deception that only become apparent over multiple rounds, piecing together inconsistencies in someone's story throughout the entire game, that takes a deep understanding of how time and strategy play a role in communication. And that's something current LLMs still struggle with, especially in those long horizon games where crucial tells might not surface right away. It really pushes their limits.
It does. So let's talk about how the researchers actually put these LLMs to the test using this Avalon data. How did they go about it?
All right. Well, they took a few of the most advanced LLMs available, GPT-4, GPT-3.5, Turbo, Llama 2.13b, even some versions of these models that had been specifically trained for this type of task.
And the main challenge they gave these LLMs was to try and predict the role of each player in the game.
Yeah.
Good, evil, or Merlin. Simple enough on the surface, but as we've been discussing, there's a lot going on beneath the surface.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And they didn't just feed the LLMs the raw conversation transcripts. They experimented by giving the AI different types of information, what they call modalities.
Right.
Sometimes the AI only got to see the text of the conversations. Other times, it only saw the structured data about the game state, things like voting records and quest outcomes. And then, of course, they tested what would happen when the LLMs had access to both the chat logs and the game state information.
It's a smart approach. By varying the type of information they gave the AI, the researchers could figure out which pieces of information were most helpful for making those predictions. And I remember they also presented the game's context in different ways, right?
Exactly. They used two main approaches. One was round-based context. So in this scenario, the LLM would see the current round's discussion plus this belief state that was carried over from the previous round. This belief state basically reflected the AI's predictions from the round before about who was who. So the AI was trying to update its understanding of each player's identity as the game moved along.
I see. That's kind of like how we might gradually form opinions about others as we get to know them better over time.
Precisely. And the other approach was full context, where the LLM had access to the entire game history up to that point, all the chats from the very beginning and all the game state information, like giving the AI a complete record to analyze all at once.
Fascinating. And to make sure the LLMs provided their answers in a consistent way that researchers could easily work with, they used a tool called TypeChat. Basically, they gave each AI a structured format, a JSON format, where they had to explicitly state their predictions for each player's role.
Yeah, that's a good move. It helps avoid those sometimes rambling responses LLMs can generate. It makes sure we're comparing apples to apples when we look at how these different AIs made their predictions. So what were some of the key findings? After all these different tests, what did the researchers learn about how well these LLMs performed?
Well, the big takeaway, and this might not come as a huge surprise, is that none of the LLMs consistently performed at the same level of accuracy as the human players.
Okay, so we still have the edge when it comes to game night.
At least for now. But they did find some pretty interesting things. For example, GPT-4 was really good at figuring out who Merlin was, especially in that round-based context. It even did slightly better than the humans on that particular task.
That's pretty impressive.
It is. It suggests that GPT-4 might be particularly adept at picking up those subtle cues that Merlin might reveal, even without the benefit of seeing the entire game history. But it's important to note that there was a general trend. Identifying the evil players was harder, both for the LLMs and for the human players.
Which, when you think about it, makes perfect sense. The bad guys are trying to blend in, right? They're actively trying to throw everyone off to deceive the other players.
Exactly. They're playing a role, and that makes them harder to pin down. Now, remember how the researchers gave the AI different types of information and varied how much context they could see?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Well, they found that for the GPT models, having access to both the chat transcripts and the game state information, what they called the joint modality, usually led to the best results, especially when the AIs were given the full context of the game.
Yeah, and that really reinforces what we were talking about earlier. It's not just about the words themselves, but the context in which they're spoken and how those words relate to what's actually happening in the game.
Exactly. It all feeds into the AI's understanding.
Right.
Now, what's fascinating is that when the LLMs only had the round-based context, sometimes looking at either just the chat or just the game state led to better predictions than seeing both.
Ah, that is interesting.
It is. But those separate pieces of information still didn't allow the AI to do as well as when it had both the chat and game state together in the full context.
So it seems like there's a sweet spot, a sort of optimal balance in terms of how much information and what kind of information is most helpful for the AI at different points in the game.
It seems that way. And speaking of helpful information, you mentioned earlier that having access to the game state was particularly useful for identifying Merlin, right?
Yes, that was a really key finding. The information about which quests succeeded or failed, who was on those teams, all that game state data seemed to provide these extra clues that helped narrow down who might have that insider knowledge of the evil player's identities.
I see. It helped zero in on Merlin. So what about Llama 2? How did it perform when it was given different kinds of information?
Llama 2 was a bit different. It actually did its best when it used either just the chat info or just the game state info. Combining the two didn't give it a clear advantage, which is different from what they found with the GPT models.
That is curious. It might have something to do with how these different AI architectures are trained or how they approach processing different types of input.
Could be.
Now, the researchers didn't just stop at testing the pre-trained models. They also experimented with fine-tuning some of them on the Avalon data itself, right? What did they find there?
Yes. They took Llama 2 and GPT 3.5 and fine-tuned them, meaning they trained them further specifically on a portion of the Avalon game data.
Ah, so they're giving them more specialized training.
Exactly. And for Llama 2, this extra training actually improved its overall ability to predict the player's roles. So it seems like giving it more exposure to those Avalon gameplay examples helped it get better at the task.
Okay, so more practice makes perfect, as they say. But you said the results were a bit different for GPT 3.5.
Right. Surprisingly, fine-tuning GPT 3.5 didn't lead to the same overall improvement. However, there was one area where it made a big difference. Its ability to pinpoint Merlin. After fine-tuning, it was actually better than GPT-4 and even the human baseline at that specific task.
Wow, that's fascinating. It's as if the fine-tuning process honed its ability to pick up on those subtle signs that might reveal Merlin's identity.
It did. And, you know, the researchers also made some interesting comparisons to another social deduction game, Werewolf.
Oh, right. Werewolf. What did they find there?
Interestingly, the LLMs actually did a better job predicting roles in Werewolf compared to Avalon.
Really? It's a pretty significant difference. Why do you think that might be?
Well, their theory is that it might be because werewolf games tend to be shorter. Those conversations are more concise, so the LLMs have less dialogue to process compared to the longer games of Avalon.
That makes sense. A shorter context might be easier for the current LLMs to handle and understand.
Right. And remember how fine-tuning had different effects on Llama 2 and GPT 3.5 when it came to Avalon? Well, they found something similar with Werewolf. Fine-tuning GPT 3.5 on the werewolf data significantly boosted its performance.
Okay.
But with Llama 2, fine-tuning didn't have the same positive effect. And in some cases, it actually seemed to hurt its performance.
Wow, that really highlights how the nature of the training data and maybe even the underlying structure of the LLM can dramatically affect how well fine-tuning works for different tasks and different types of data. So we've talked a lot about the AI side of things, but the researchers also learned a lot just from observing how the human players behaved in these Avalon games, right?
Oh, absolutely. They found some really intriguing correlations. For instance, if Merlin spoke earlier in the game, it tended to make it easier for the good players to be identified overall.
Hmm. Why do you think that is?
It could be that Merlin's early contributions, even if they're subtle, end up shaping the direction of the conversation or provide information that the other good players then sort of implicitly follow.
Yeah, I could see that. Like they're setting the tone or providing a framework that the others can build upon.
Right. And they also noticed that if Morgana or Percival spoke a lot, it also seemed to make it easier to figure out who the good players were. Kind of unexpected, don't you think?
It is, a little bit. Maybe their attempts to steer the game, their more frequent interactions, unintentionally reveal patterns that the good players pick up on. Or maybe it forces those good players to speak up more in response, making them stand out a bit more.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. And here's a really fascinating one. Evil players who lied more frequently were actually better at correctly identifying Merlin.
Oh, that's sneaky. So they're using their own deception to try and see through Merlin's deception.
It seems that way. It suggests that by actively engaging in deception themselves, they might become more attuned to recognizing when Merlin is trying to pull the wool over their eyes, and in doing so, Merlin might unintentionally give himself away.
That's a clever tactic, though it does seem pretty risky. It's like they're using their own playbook to try and read Merlin's moves.
And there was one more interesting observation, right, about Percival's role.
Yes. How much Percival spoke actually had a statistically significant impact on whether the evil team ultimately won the game. Huh, that's intriguing. Maybe because Percival has this partial knowledge, their level of engagement in the conversations ends up being a crucial factor in how the game plays out and which side ultimately comes out on top.
Yeah, it could be that their contributions, or lack thereof, have a ripple effect on the dynamics of the group.
It's fascinating how even seemingly small details can have a big impact on these social interactions. So after going through all this research, what's the main thing that stands out to you about how well these LLMs can handle these complex social deduction scenarios?
Well, for me, the key takeaway is that while LLMs have made some amazing progress in understanding and even generating human language, there's still a long way to go before they can truly grasp the subtleties of human interaction, especially when deception, hidden roles, and long-term strategy come into play.
I agree. They haven't quite reached the point where they can consistently decipher that intricate dance of trust and deception that unfolds in a game like Avalon, not at the same level as us humans.
And it really makes you appreciate just how complex human communication is, right? These games, they're not just about exchanging information. They require these intricate layers of social intelligence, emotional awareness, and strategic thinking that go beyond simple information retrieval or even just having a basic conversation.
Absolutely. And I think this research provides a valuable benchmark, a way for us to see where AI currently stands and to guide its future development. It shows us that there's so much more to truly understanding human language than just processing the words on the page.
Right. So to wrap things up, here's a question for you to ponder. What does all of this research tell us about the nature of trust, deception, and understanding in our own human interactions? And what are the implications as we continue to develop increasingly sophisticated AI systems that aim to work with or even understand human societies?
It's a big question.
It is. Are you surprised that detecting deception, especially over longer conversations, is still such a challenge for AI, even when it has access to all that data? Think about situations in your own life where understanding someone's long-term goals and being able to spot hidden motives is crucial. It really makes you appreciate the social intelligence we often take for granted.
It does. And for any researchers out there who are as intrigued by all this as we are, the team behind this research has actually made their entire data set and the platform they use publicly available. It's an incredible opportunity to dig deeper into this fascinating area and push the boundaries of AI and natural language understanding in these complex social settings.
So if you're up for the challenge, dive in.
Definitely. There's a lot more to explore.
Absolutely. And as always, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.